The Bible reading this morning is taken from 1 Kings chapter 18 and verses 30 through to 46. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered them. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant, and he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. 7 times Elijah said, "Go back." The 7th time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Lord, would you open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word this morning? Lord, we long to hear from you, for you to direct us and lead us in our lives as individuals and as your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in a sermon series on prayer, and today's theme is unlimited opportunity. Now, we all want God to answer our prayers, don't we? We believe in the power of prayer. But when it comes down to our own individual lives and problems, do we really have the faith to believe that God will answer? Unbelief and independence often trap us. Our lack of faith and of fear, they stop us depending on Him. And those are the things that get in the way. The truth is that the things we do for God should be outside of our own abilities. They should be evidence that we are trusting in His supernatural ability. We saw in our reading today that Elijah certainly trusted in God's supernatural ability. Now, with our reading today, we've come part in through the events that were happening with Elijah. So let me just set the scene for you here. Ahab became king in Israel. He married Jezebel, who worshipped the god of Baal. And to please his wife, Ahab built a temple and an altar for Baal, promoting idolatry and leading the entire nation into sin. Those who worshipped Baal believed he was the god who brought the rain and harvest. Now Elijah was directed by God to go confront Ahab and told him there would be no rain for several years, and then was directed by God to leave the area for his own safety. Drought and famine struck, and Ahab sent many people to try and find Elijah with no success. And a few years later, the Lord told Elijah to go present himself to King Ahab. And Elijah tells Ahab to summon his people and the 450 prophets of Baal to meet him on Mount Carmel. He then tells them to get two bulls and lets the Baal prophets choose one of the bulls for themselves. They cut the bull into pieces, put it on the wood without lighting the fire, and the prophets then called on the name of Baal from morning until noon to send fire to burn the sacrifice, dancing around the altar. Well, Elijah taunts them, "Shout louder," suggesting that their God might be taking a nap. They carry on shouting and prophesying until evening, and nothing happened because their God was not real. Now, the false gods we may be tempted to follow are not idols of wood or stone, but they can be just as false and dangerous, because they cause us to depend on something other or someone other than Jesus. For example, power, status, appearance, fitness, computer games, material possessions. They can become our gods if we devote and spend a lot of our lives on them. But when we reach times of crisis and look to the false gods in our lives to satisfy us, to answer us, there'll only be silence, because they can offer no true answers, no guidance, and certainly no wisdom. Now, our reading today takes place as there's no response, just as there's no response from the false god Baal. So Elijah repairs the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. He takes 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob. And instead of just putting the bull on the wood, Elijah instructs the people to soak both the bull and the wood with 12 large jars of water. So not only is the bull and the wood soaked in water, but the water fills the trench surrounding the altar. And then Elijah prays. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back to you. So even though the whole thing is soaked in water, God sends fire, which burns up the whole sacrifice, including drying up the water in the trench. The people are clearly overwhelmed by the display of God's power and immediately acknowledge that the Lord is God. So Elijah then tells King Ahab to go eat and drink because there is the sound of heavy rain. Even though there's no sign whatsoever of rain, the sky is clear of clouds. But Elijah is standing on God's promise to him. He goes to the top of Mount Carmel and prays, telling his servant to go look towards the sea for rain. Six times the servant comes back saying there are no clouds, there's no sign of rain. Elijah keeps praying. And the seventh time, the servant reports seeing a very small cloud coming in from the sea. And soon after, the sky turns black and the heavy rain that the Lord promised arrives. His power is once again revealed to King Ahab and his people. We have a Father in heaven who has no limits. He is the God of the impossible, the God of the supernatural. Elijah's life showed what can happen when someone gives themselves to prayer. In this passage, we see Elijah pray in public and then in private. The battle was won in prayer. Prayer was the spark that changed a nation. Elijah was sensitive to the voice of God. He hid when God had told him to remain hidden, and he stepped out in faith and presented himself when God directed him to step out. Henry Blackaby said these words: "As a child of God, you ought to expect God to answer your prayers. Do you ask God to do something without adjusting your life to what you are praying? If you are praying for revival, how are you preparing for its coming? If you are praying for forgiveness, are you still living with guilt? If you have asked God to provide for your needs, do you remain worried and anxious? Ask God to increase your faith and then begin living a life that reflects absolute trust in Him." We are the ones who can sometimes limit God because of our lack of faith and because of our fear of stepping out and being dependent on Him. The truth is that the things that we do for God should be outside of our own ability and trusting in His supernatural ability. When we back away from dependence on Him, we're not living by faith. We need to be willing to attempt things big enough that unless God steps in, we're sure to fail. This is the kind of faith and dependence He's looking for in our lives. This is a prayer a man called Jabez prayed in 1 Chronicles 4:10. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Jabez cried out to God to enlarge his territory and bless him. He cried out for God's hand to be with him. We too are made for destiny. We're created for something bigger than ourselves. We're all designed to touch a lost world, to show God's love and fulfill his purposes for eternity, whether it's where we work or where we live. But in reality, most of us are afraid to step out by faith because we're afraid of failing. Why are we afraid to become dependent on a God who has unlimited resources? If we pray for God to enlarge our borders, enlarge our impact, we must be totally dependent on Him and be prepared to believe for miracles that God can certainly bring about. This equation really works. My willingness and weakness, and in addition to God's will and supernatural power, equals God's unlimited opportunity to bless. my willingness and weakness, added to God's will and supernatural power, equals God's unlimited opportunity to bless. Jabez was greatly blessed by God because he didn't let obstacles become larger than his faith. He knew the character of God, and he knew that God loved to bless. I live in a four-story vicarage here in Hampton, and for quite a number of months after I'd first moved here, I would stand and look out of the window on the fourth floor of the house and pray the prayer of Jabez over Hampton and the church. The church back then had 37 members. It's grown quite a lot. God has answered that prayer and blessed in more ways than I can possibly describe. Let me tell you about the African antelope. It's called the impala, and it can jump to over 10 feet high, and it can jump over a distance of 30 feet. But you can keep impalas from escaping by building just a 3-foot-high stone wall. Because they can't see over it, they can't see where they're going to land on the other side of the wall, they won't try to jump over it. And in the same way, we often won't try anything because we can't see, because we're locked in by our fears. Faith is the ability to trust God even when we can't see. Faith frees us to trust Him who has all the resources of the heaven. Why are we afraid to become dependent on a God who has all the resources in the world and has unlimited, limitless power? He wants to bless us, but we must have the faith. If we pray for God to enlarge our borders, we must depend on Him and prepare to believe for miracles that only He can do. God gives us the desires of our hearts when we're in line with Him, and He wants to answer extraordinary prayers combined with extraordinary faith. He wants us to live beyond the limits that we set on ourselves. He wants to give us His favor. But let's be honest, many of us just don't believe that. I encourage you to begin praying big prayers, because God is faithful. We must demonstrate our dependence on God even when we feel weak, by stepping out by faith in whatever ways He leads us. Now, it's not easy, but we must be willing to say no to fear. I had to say no to fear in accepting the post to come here as vicar. I actually said no first time. I knew there was no church building and a large building project on the cards, and I knew I simply did not have the abilities needed to serve in this role. And to be quite honest, I often still feel that way. However, I believe in the faithfulness of a big God, and I'm still amazed at the miracles God has performed here in the past 7 years, not least in blessing us with that piece of land. Years of prayer by a number of people released that land. God is faithful. Our willingness and weakness, offered to God's will and supernatural power, results in God's unlimited opportunity to bless us. And God is trying to teach each one of us dependence in His strong hands and supernatural power. Let me tell you a story. A small group of scientists were searching for an extremely rare flower in the Himalayan mountains. After a long search, they found it. but it was growing on a very steep cliff and they had no way to get to it. They finally had an idea and asked a young boy if they could lower him over the cliff on a rope to get the flower. They offered the boy a bribe that was quite big in his eyes, but the cliff was scary and extremely dangerous. So the boy thought about the request and the reward and suddenly told the scientist just to hang on a few minutes, and he rang home. Finally, he returned with an older man. He told them if they let his father hold on to the rope, he would allow them to lower him over the side of the cliff, because he knew that his father wouldn't let go. This example is similar to our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. If God is holding the rope, then we can trust him completely with our lives, because we know he will not let go. When we surrender our weaknesses into the mighty hands of God, our needs and our problems turn into his unlimited opportunity. Then God becomes great through us, and he can entrust us with an enlarged territory and the fulfillment of his plans for us. But we, all of us, need to take steps of faith, even if they're really tiny steps. God honors those steps and turns them into his unlimited opportunity, because at that very moment, we become dependent on him. This is his plan for our lives. If we're willing to give him our weaknesses and obey his word by faith, then it opens the door for supernatural power and God's opportunity to bless us. I wonder, what step of faith is God asking you to take today? What step of faith? What impossibility will you put into his hands and by faith obey what he asks you to do? Would you have the confidence to invite him to take over? Do you trust him? Will you put everything into his almighty hands, adjust your life to what you are praying for, and step out by faith in whatever way he leads? When you do this, you become dependent in his dependable hands. He's just waiting for your invitation to enlarge your faith. And remember, God is a God of love. He is our greatest encourager, and he is the God of the impossible. Would you pray with me? O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Forgive us when we focus on our own weaknesses and doubt your mighty power. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome here. Would you fill each of us afresh again with your presence? Give us the courage we need to take the steps of faith you are asking us to take, to trust you more, to depend on you more, to enlarge our faith. In your name and for your honor and glory we pray. Amen. We're going to continue in sung worship now as we seek the plans and purposes of this amazing God who we worship, who is faithful.